Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Campus Conflict Resolution Services here on Blog Talk Radio. We're your hosts, Shay
and Alexi.
And today we really want to talk to you about something that we spoke about on October 20th in our last show. We talked about an alligator story, so if you haven't heard it, go back and listen because it was great. And today we're just going to kind of further elaborate on that story. We really showed a little bit of negotiation, and we want to touch on how to do principal negotiation today. So we are going to start off by identifying the characters. There's five characters, and we picked our own special characters, Delaxi and I did, and we decided which character in the story we thought was most objectionable and which one was least objectionable. And we're just going to do a quick, I guess, discussion about who we thought was least objectionable and why, and then we are going to tell you a little bit more about principal negotiation. So in this, one of us is going to be principal and one of us is not going to be a principal negotiator, and then we will tell you how we displayed that. So here it goes.
So in terms of my listings, I had Sinbad as the most objectionable, and I believe that he is that person because he took advantage of someone that was helpless. And second off, I had Slug, who went and attacked another person without any kind of reason for him to do so, and he got involved in a conflict that he didn't need to be involved in. Third, I had Abigail, who was caught in the middle of everything, but still she could have handled it better, but she was there. So she had my students on number three. Number four, I had Greg, whom didn't even listen to or understand where Abigail was coming from or what she did for him, but instead just judged and threw her out. And then the fourth, I had Ivan, because he didn't get involved in the conflict.
So my list was, I had Abigail as the most objectionable because I thought she was really mean, and she laughed at Gregory getting beat up, and she did some very questionable things in the story. Again, October 20th, it's a good one. You're going to want to hear it. And then I had Gregory second as most objectionable just because he turned his back on somebody that was really close to him and somebody that would have done a lot for him, and that was also mean. Then I had Ivan as third because I thought he was a terrible friend. I had Slug as fourth because I really didn't think that he did very much in the story. He beat up Gregory, but it was for his friend, and he was trying to do a nice thing, even though kind of a bad thing. And then the least objectionable, I had Sinbad, just because I thought that he was a stand-up guy. He made a fair trade. And he didn't pressure anybody into doing anything, and he just offered a service, and he followed through with his word.
As you may remember from last time, we had a very hearty argument on, hearty and respectful, polite argument on how our thoughts differed and how much our opinion on Sinbad differed. So this time we're gonna have another sort of discussion. But then with the terms of negotiation and who's principal, who's not. So in terms of Sinbad, I do not think that he is as least objectionable as you claim him to be.
Sinbad is the most objectionable.
But why would you say so? Why would you think that?
Because that's my opinion, and I am right.
But What is Sinbad doing that makes you think that way about him?
I think that Sinbad is the best character because I like him and because this is my position and I am not going to budge.
Is there any kind of characteristics that you see in Sinbad that makes you want to think that he's the least objectionable? Forms that he makes you think that way?
Okay, fine. So Sinbad is a really good character because he's a stand-up guy. I really, truly value following through with your word, which is something that he did. I truly value helping people out when they're in need, which is something that he did. And I just think that he is fabulous.
I can understand where you're coming from. So just to clarify, the concept of him following through with his word is very important to you, and that makes you kind of look at him in a more positive light.
Yes, you are absolutely correct, Dilaxi.
But what any wouldn't just to get your perspective on how I see things. When he takes advantage of, well, he doesn't take, maybe not, that's not the right term, but when he offers Abigail the ride only if she sleeps with him, does not go against certain values and morals of not taking advantage of someone that's helpless?
Well, everybody has their own values and morals, and I don't think that Abigail was helpless at all. I think that she made her own bed, and then she had to lay in it, and she had a choice, and she chose to do something immoral, which is also why she is the most objectionable to me.
So coming to Abigail, I, as you know, I did not rate her as most or least. She was kind of in the middle for me. But do you not think that she was pushed to a certain degree? She didn't have much of a choice? Or how would you see that? How would you see her situation and how she made the compromise?
And cut. Instead of me going in and talking more in a very unprincipled way about why I didn't like Abigail, I figured that this would be a great part for Dilaxi and I to tell you guys about the things that Dilaxi did that were very principled and made her a very principled negotiator. So there's four principles in being a principled negotiator, and Dilaxi is going to explain number one.
So number one is when you separate people from the problem. So basically it's when you, there's three aspects to it. There's the emotional aspect, there's the communication, and then there's the perception aspect. So you, as a principal negotiator, you would look at the situation from the other party's perspective, and you would communicate in using terms that do not blame or name call. So saying, using like I statements rather than you statements, and saying, I feel a certain way. And I understand where you're coming from. So you're trying to see it from their perspective. And basically, you're trying not to blame anyone, or you're being a decent person. And you're trying to get your point across without coming across as accusatory.
And it was really awesome because in our discussion and our negotiation, Dilaxi was trying to figure out what I wanted, but she was also trying to say it in a way that didn't make me feel like I was wrong and she was right. She was just trying to get information. So that brings us to principle number two, which is focus on interests, not positions. So as we've said in previous shows, positions are what you want and your interest is why you want it. So as you may have noticed, in our negotiation, Dilaxi would ask, oh, well, why do you think that? Or what makes you feel that way? And those are questions that are kind of trying to do a deep dive into why do I feel the way that I feel. So my position on this would be that Sinbad is the best, and the reasons why would be the underlying interest as to what that is. And when you're being a principal negotiator, you really want to focus on why people want things instead of what they want, because what they want is not really something that you can address unless you necessarily give in. But if you figure out why they want it, you may be able to expand the pie and create a win-win situation.
And to add to that, when Shay was arguing, she kept saying the words, I want, I need, and she was unwilling to budge. And when someone is at that stage, your goal is to kind of weed out what they actually want underneath. So after a while, she began to answer questions and come out with that she values the fact that he is following through on his word, and she values him taking her across after the bargain was fulfilled. So those kind of values are her underlying interests. Moving on to principle three, it's to invent options for mutual gain. So we didn't get to that part in our little role play there, but it is when both parties come up with options that they think they can apply as a potential solution. But then during this initial stages, you will not judge nor criticize. It's just you're putting out ideas and making a list maybe on a whiteboard or a chart or something, and just to get ideas out there so you have lots of options to choose from. And as you
as you proceed in this principle, you will, after you finish all the brainstorming, you would go through them and find options that work for both parties and figure out which one would work best through that.
So just to add to what Galaxy said, an example of this principle three would be, if you remember in elementary school, you're asked to write a short story. The first thing you do is write on your little brainstorming cloud to think about all the different ideas that you think may or may not work for a story. And as you're narrowing down those ideas, you're scratching them off of your brainstorming, and you're doing that evaluation after you write all your ideas down. But you don't know which ideas will work until you just write them down and really think about them. So that's essentially what principle three is. It's brainstorming. So moving on to the fourth and final principle, we have insist on using objective criteria, is that you are using some criteria to choose between, options that you have that are going to work for both of you. So the first thing you do is you narrow down your options to options that will work for both of you, and then you try to figure out what objective criteria you can use to decide between them. So that is broken down into standards and procedures. So some standards are, like, if you're trying to negotiate a potential pay raise or something, you can compare how much you make in your job to someone else in a similar position in a different company, per se, or even within your same company, and show them that this is what they're being offered. Why can't I do the same? Kind of use that as like an objective, outside third party piece of information to justify your point and get your point across. And another example of that would be using market or prices for other cars. If you're buying a car, you can see what similar cars are priced at, see if your car is at a reasonable price. So moving on to procedures. Procedures are ways that you can decide your objective or decide your options and their objectives. So you can use things like rock, paper, scissors. You can do flipping a coin. Anything that is completely objective and does not favor either party would really work in this situation. Like, for example, you can bring in a third party who's neutral, does not know the situation, nor it has any connection to either party. You can bring them in and have them, after you narrow down the brainstorming ideas, you can bring them in and have them give their opinion on what they think would work best and potentially using that as a potential solution. And that person could also be a mediator. Well, so once again, you've heard our rankings and you've heard our reasons and you have heard us reach out. Hopefully you have a great understanding of principal negotiation and non-principal negotiation. So please let us know what you guys thought. Send us a message on Facebook or Twitter. The links can be found in our show description or send us an email at ccrs@durhamcollege.ca.
Don't forget, we also offer free and conflict mediation services to help you guide your conflict, guide you and your conflict out of its fog and into a brighter light. So email us if we want to help you.
We are your hosts, Galaxy and Shay, signing off. And remember, when you speak, you are only repeating what you already know. But if you listen, you may learn something new. Ciao for now. Bye.